listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, I'm very excited about today's CarCast episode. We have I'm a fan. We've been a friend for a long time. Steve Saline is in the studio with us, so stick around for that. First, a little word from our friends at Oracle NetSuite. America's ready to get back to work, but to win in the new economy, you need every advantage to succeed. Smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle. It's the world's number one cloud business system. With NetSuite, you'll have visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. It's all in one place. It's super easy to do. So whether you're doing millions of dollars or hundreds of millions in sales, either way, NetSuite lets you manage every penny and gives you the agility to compete with anyone and work from anywhere, even on your phone. So join the 20,000 plus companies who trust NetSuite. And NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook of top strategies that they're using as America reopens for business. So it's called 7 Actions Businesses Need to Take Now. You can receive this free guide and a product tour. Just go to netsuite.com/carcast. So get your free guide and schedule a free product tour right now at netsuite.com/carcast. Again, that's netsuite.com/carcast. Hey, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, with Bill Goldberg. And how you doing, Bill?
I feel inadequate. I'm the only one without a headset on.
Oh, man. Did you catch Chris with the wrong intro music today? Is that the wrong one? Is that the right one?
That's the right one.
Yeah, I remember the song, but I heard the burnout, and I was like, "Are you using the song with the burnout?"
It's a sound. That's a burnout.
All right, we're gonna have to get some more. We're gonna have to get Goldberg's car up there now.
Yeah,
soon.
Could use an update.
Before we get started, just a quick little update. We have Steve Saline in the studio today. How you doing, Steve?
Great.
Bill, just a quick update because we were talking a second ago about the cars. Gearhead and on the Charger with the parachute and the roll cage and the 1400
horsepower. I just talked to Mario. Is on his way to the Modern Street Hemi shootout or something up in, I think it's Tennessee. But the twin turbo is done in about a week and a half. Speed Corps guys will be picking it up, be heading up there, and God knows how long it'll be. But the biggest news I have of the week is that tomorrow, knock on wood, permits for the garage.
The big garage, yeah. Excellent. All right. So Gearheads has finished up the mechanics on the twin turbo Challenger, or Charger, rather.
Charger.
This thing, Steve, he's building a late model Charger with a parachute and roll cage. It did, 1,400-something horsepower?
Yeah, 1,400.
1,400 horsepower. And now it's going up to the guys at Speed Corps to get their aesthetic treatment and lots of carbon fiber and all the nice bits and pieces on it. And it is one of many
projects. I'm addicted,
projects.
Steve, just like the two of you gentlemen. So all I can say is it's no different than you did back in the day and probably still do now. But I'm just trying to have some fun.
That's quite a bit. Oh, well, we're going to get into some of the cool stuff that Steve has done and what he's currently doing, because he rolled up in one of the Saline Teslas, which into a few years ago, and he brought his personal Tesla. But we'll talk about it because it's sharp looking. Before we get started, a word from our friends at Dodge. It's time for Dodge Power Dollars. That means for each horsepower, you get $10 off your purchase of a Dodge Charger, Challenger, or Durango. So come on in for Dodge Power Dollars today for a pretty sweet deal. All right, Steve, thanks so much for coming in. You know that I'm a fan. I'm a big Fox Body Mustang guy, which I'm just saying that really like for the first time. I'm admitting that out loud. Nobody knows that.
Oh, you came out of the garage I'm a Fox Body guy. Just now,
I'm putting that out there. Big fan of what you've been doing for a long time from the Fox Body cars. All the way up to today, I had a 2005 Mustang with a lot of your stuff on it. I've had a lot of your stuff on many of my cars over the years.
Come on, don't spill it. Be honest, man. Come on. You have an addiction.
you know, Celine fans know quite a bit about the history of your racing background, all the various manufacturer championships that you had over the years, mostly because every Celine that runs around now has the wreath sticker.
Very good.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Paying attention.
It's
That's
got
good.
The sticker with all the wreaths on it. It's
yes.
Champion, 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 champion. So we're not going to get into too much of that, except I know that Goldberg is a little bit fascinated by your Pontiac Trans Am racing experience from early 80s? What, 82?
82, yes.
Okay.
We ran... prior to that, I always grew up in Southern California, and I wanted to be a race car driver. And I pursued that and graduated into Formula Atlantic, ran in the era of Bobby Rahal and Danny mm-hmm. Sullivan, Gilles Villeneuve, and K.K. Rosberg. And so from there, you either went directly into IndyCar or you went into Formula One. And initially, neither door opened for me, but I was offered a drive with Pontiac Motor Company, riding a Pontiac Trans Am here with the Mecum team at the time.
Wow.
And that's what introduced me to Detroit. And the rest, then I got enamored with Detroit. And the team won the championship in 1982. And I got to know the guys from Ford Motor Company because we beat them. And they were trying to do a special edition Mustang.
Yeah.
And I said, which one are you going to do? And they go, oh, it's going to be a four-cylinder turbo.
Yeah.
So nothing really has changed in all these years. And I said, oh, I think the American public would prefer to have a V8.
Absolutely.
And so then they said, well, Steve, we're committed to a four-cylinder turbo. But if you had interest, based on the work you were doing with Pontiac, we might support you on doing a V8 version. So at the end of the racing season in 1983, I left my position in Pontiac and started my own company, Celine, and started with the Ford Mustang.
So this Celine that we've known so long over the years was basically created
awesome.
With your foot in the door with Pontiac. And there's always a bit of that, right? Because we did the Shelby documentary and talking about, you know, Shelby starting, you know, doing stuff racing for Aston Martin and getting in with all the various car companies over the years and GM and all this stuff. So there's a... I didn't know about the Pontiac background, or I just didn't recall it. Interesting that the four-cylinder Mustang, because I don't know, because with emissions like really kicking in, especially in the early 80s, we had the SVO Mustang, which is kind of a cool collectible Mustang, not that big on power. But then the Mustang GT was maybe 175 horsepower. It was probably about the same as what the SVO was anyway. So both of them kind of very low on power. So achieving that. And achieving it emissions legal was a big pain in the ass.
Yeah,
back
well,
then.
With the V8 though had more torque, so initially you were going faster. So that from an American point of view, that was always a better deal.
So tell me about the we'll touch on some of the historic stuff as well, because I do have some questions, and I have some self-serving questions about of course you know the car I'm going to be talking about, but tell us about the Tesla you have outside. This is the Celine.
Yes, well we back
Tesla
in 2014, I have to think it's about 6 years ago when Tesla really came out with the S model. We thought and had been looking at the future of automobile, and we recognized that electric actually was not a passing fad. And we thought, well, we would start getting our feet wet, so to speak, and started, you know, looking at the Tesla and what we could do. And we've ended up having a pretty cool model of the Celine version of the Tesla, and where we do the complete suspension. We change all of the aerodynamics. We go in and do the CFD, computer fluid dynamics, and to give it less drag and more downforce at the same time. We match it with, again, the changes on the suspension and the tire patch that we put together with. And then this particular one has the carbon fiber brakes. And then we've changed the whole interior, really, and adding counseled, and I can't believe I actually say this, is we actually add cup holders. So usually I'm taking those out, but in this case we're adding cup holders as well. Yeah.
Very American of you.
Yeah, there you go.
Is there a way to do performance enhancements to the car?
So other than we recognize that. Now, in electric vehicles still, you have your range anxiety on how far you can go on a charge.
Full charge, yeah.
And what we did is that we concentrated on the aerodynamics and increasing the cooling of the vehicle. And in doing that, it allows the batteries to run at higher discharge longer. So your lap times around a racetrack, so to speak, will at least stay up at another lap or two higher before you start having a fall off in power. And then we change the final drive ratio. We do different gear ratio by lowering it. And so your acceleration in a saline version is anywhere from 1 to 2/10 to 3/10 quicker than a standard Tesla.
Right, because changing that gear is just another torque multiplier at this point. On a vehicle that probably doesn't need more torque, you did it anyway.
Yes, yeah, but it does show up on the stopwatch, and it's a lot of fun. And then one of the options we have is the person, if they want to have sound with their quiet electric vehicle, we can give it sound, because the way we'll cut the final gear ratio, we'll actually cut the gears differently, so it will give a whine to it as you accelerate and decelerate.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Very much like the Formula E's, watching the Formula E race cars.
Yeah.
You'll end up with a similar type of sound if that's what you would like.
That's an interesting way of doing it, just going to more of like a straight cut gear, just giving it like a timing set, like a Pete Jackson gear drive, or even running like the Whipples, like on Bill's cars, give it more of a gear sound to it, That's good. That's kind of interesting. So are you guys still working on Teslas?
You can order the Tesla now. You get it one or two ways. If you order a new Tesla, you can have it sent to the facility that's closest to our shops out in Southern California in Corona.
Okay.
We're actually in Corona, California, which is in the epicenter of the coronavirus.
Right, apparently.
I just wanted to point that out. So, and then, or you can just have us and we'll order everything for you and then deliver it to you.
So for the Tesla, it's a post-title package.
In essence, yes.
Can you ask them if you can contribute aesthetically?
Well, I don't know that we need to ask on this.
I'm just saying.
Right on. Yeah, I see where your head's at.
Gotcha.
Okay, so I also want to ask about, of course, the Mustangs, the Saline Mustangs, the current lineup. Well, the current lineup in Saline right now is we have, of course, the Tesla. We have the Mustangs with the S302s. We have the Sport Truck, which is the street version, and the Sport Truck XR, which is the 4x4, the off-road versions.
Correct.
And each of those, the Mustang and the two trucks, come in three flavors, right?
Yes.
White label, yellow label, black label.
Yes.
Right? See, I'm nailing this without the notes.
That's amazing, actually.
That's what I hear about the S7.
Very good.
And we'll get into S7 in a second. Okay, so we have three flavors of Mustangs and the trucks. And what are we doing with the Mustangs right now? We have white label, yellow label, and black label, sort of a small, medium, and large, if you will.
Yes. Yeah. Good, better, best type of. And all of, again, if you've known Saline, we attack or look at all levels of performance, from aerodynamic, suspension, interior, and drivetrain. And all white label, yellow label, or black label all get all of those treatments to a different extreme depending on price point. And the white label is almost 500 horsepower now, normally aspirated, with a different suspension and the aerodynamics that we've developed for this. And that retails, again, the cost advantage here, that retails in the mid 45,000 as a complete vehicle that you would buy directly from your local Ford dealer throughout the nation. And then yellow label, we add a supercharger to it, and that boosts the horsepower up to 740 horsepower. And that retails in the mid to high 50,000. So from a value standpoint, if you're looking at 740 horsepower, you really can't touch where we are price point and with everything else. And then our top of the line black label, we change basically everything on the vehicle. And it, we add a little more horsepower. So it's 800 horsepower. And that retails for about $85,000. Again, unbelievable value. So we've always, since the beginning of time, we've always had a good value creation on all of our vehicles. And the Mustang today, I think, is one of the best purchases anybody can actually make, especially if you look at the potential resale value as well.
Yeah. Right on. Who are some of the partners that you're working with on these cars? Specifically, I got a glimpse of the Mustang, the S302 Black Label the other day, and you guys are doing your thing with Edelbrock Supercharger and stuff on it. And by the way, they've been doing really well and been partnering with a lot of people. Like we had on the GM side of the fence, our good friend Ken Lingenfelter has been in. And he's using a lot of Lingenfelter supercharging, doing, of course, his own tune and stuff like you guys are. But there's a lot out there in that world. I mean, I know for a while you guys were making your own supercharger pretty much from the ground up. But honestly, I don't even know if that's necessary. You know, there are so many companies out there and with, you know, the Prochargers and Vortex and Kenny Bells and Whipples and Edelbrocks. And there's just people out there that are able to probably do this at a more cost efficient way because, they move quite a few more superchargers than you would be able to within just the brand, right?
Well, it really depends. Yes, what you're saying is correct. But I would also say it sort of depends on where we are in the cycle of development and what have you on that, to where we will take and incorporate a lot of the technology in very unique ways that make it a more drivable, a fun to drive type of vehicle and a very good value. And so we will do our own thing in a lot of ways as well.
Mm-hmm. How are you guys making 800 horsepower on a stock block?
Well,
very, very carefully.
All of these self-serving, questions, mind you.
Yeah, and I assume that's a '93 tune, not our bullshit California '91 tune, right?
It's yes, the '92-'93 works really well on doing that. Though I do have to say is that. Ford Motor Company builds an unbelievable product today in the base Mustang, and it is not only a good platform on chassis and suspension, but it's also in drivetrain is unbelievable and is very robust. So it allows a lot of growth, I guess is the best way to put it, that you can add and still have a full certified vehicle that has complete bumper-to-bumper warranty and all the things that we offer. And so it really ends up being a very good vehicle for the person that's looking to have the ultimate sports car at any given point in time and any price range.
What's the dealer network look like for you guys now? Are you at dealers? You know, things have changed and COVID and all all this stuff over the year. So, you know, people are selling cars on the internet now. And like in the online auction world in the past few months, the Goodings and the RMs have moved to auction, and you'd think, oh, yeah, it's okay. You can sell an NSX for 90 grand. They're selling $4 million cars sight unseen, and people are just going, hey, I'm in. Just the other day, somebody, two well-lubricated young men were drinking and bid on a Lamborghini Miura SV, which is, I don't know, a $2 million. They drove it up to over $4 million.
What color was it?
Yeah, I don't know. But
bright green or orange? Or,
yeah, I don't know. But $4 million in this market. By the way, online they did this. They were just at home, so people were bidding. You know, like we talk about this all the time. You have a few cocktails. You're sitting in your lounge chair, and you're clicking away going, that looks good. That looks good. And then,
well, how is that any different than being there in person? Because if you're in there in person, there's no way you're only having a few cocktails.
You're right, but you get to go and see the car first.
True, but obviously that's not an issue with these people.
No, not. Listen, we've all been on Bring a Trailer a bunch of times and been down this road for sure. What's the Celine sales model right now?
Well, it's a hybrid, and I think obviously the whole world is going through a reevaluation of what is important, how we're selling vehicles, and I think we'll see a continuation of what you're saying is Zoom and online aspect of it. But we still find that you still need to go test drive a vehicle. You cannot beat the experience of actually touching, sitting in the vehicle. If you're going to spend time in it, you need to do that before you purchase it. So having a dealer base, I think, is still will not go out of vogue here in any kind of future. And we've been expanding the Celine dealer base throughout the United States. So we have quite a sales staff now that is adding more and more Celine Ford dealers in areas of where we've been expanding. And then we're also coming out with what we call our premier dealers, which will carry not only the Celine 302s with the Mustangs and the F-150s, but also our new line of supercars that we will be offering here in the not-too-distant future as well.
Before we get into those cars, let's talk about the Celine trucks. Just a quick note to Chris. It's pretty hot in here. Let's see if we can get some air turned on.
Is it 121 in Burbank again?
Oh my God, we had this crazy heat wave. I think like Woodland Hills, not too far from here, had the highest they've ever had. It was like 121 degrees. It was hotter in LA this weekend than it was in Vegas in Arizona. And I was like, well, what did I don't know what you guys are doing out there in Texas, buddy. Yeah. Oh, now we can't even see you. The sunlight is coming in through your crazy window. Thanks, Chris.
It was all I can tell you is we got about six inches of rain yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So it's a far departure.
The humidity must be lovely.
Yeah, it's really not bad. Realistically, we're gonna stay under 85 degrees the next week. So that's unusual. But you guys are going through. How many days in a row?
I don't know. It peaked over the weekend, of course, Labor Day weekend, and it's going to ride for another week or so. But you know, I'm bitching about the heat because keep in mind, there's a lot of, you know, LA's pretty old. There's a lot of, especially on the west side, all through Santa Monica and areas of where people don't have air. You know, there's no AC in you know, all the apartments and things like that. There's a lot of them don't have air. So, you know, you're sweating basically day and night. It's not very comfortable.
Is it a rolling blackout?
They are doing some rolling blackouts in some areas. But, you know, also keep in mind, like, if it's 90 degrees in your apartment, even your dogs are getting irritated at this point, right? Like, your pets are like, hey, I'm wearing this fur coat all day. Anyway, that's just me bitching about the weather. So so we got the air on in here while we can. All right, so the Celine trucks – you've dabbled in trucks for a long time from the Ford Ranger. When their SCCA did the racing series, you guys went out, I think, the first year that trucks were allowed to race and won the championship for that year.
Yes, I was very fortunate. We were the Ford factory race truck team, and we have more wins than any other team. And I personally have the most wins out of anyone that's competed in that series over a period of time. It was from, I think, ran from 87 to 92. And that, I will say, was the most fun I ever had racing on this. You were, Bill, you could identify a little bit with this in the respect racing pickup trucks is very much like tag team wrestling. You had to have at least two trucks with your bumpers that would match, and then you would ram each other and push each other to the front. And I will tell you, you were really banging, and you had to have a couple people leaning on each other on this deal to even think about winning a race.
I know it's not apples to apples, but I was able to, 2 years in a row, drive Mike Skinner's truck up at Goodwood. And
on the hill climb.
On the hill climb. And the stance and where you sit in relation to the road in that vehicle. And I don't know how it, like I said, it's probably not apples to apples compared, you know, the 40 years in between, 50 years in between, or 30 years in between. But unbelievable stance and positioning in that. Did you have the same advantage when you were driving? I mean, it's a totally different vehicle. It's so cool.
It is. Well, they still had to maintain a little bit more into a traditional truck positioning and suspension, but we got the trucks to handle unbelievably well and the power delivery. And we race. I had, you know, George Fulmer, was one of my teammates, and we pushed him, and we had a race at the big oval at Pocono 1 year, and everyone came out shaking. That we we introduced Al Unser Senior to truck racing. He said he would never do that again after that race, and it was we had 14 trucks in a row going around flat out. And I remember I was in the middle of the pack, and I took my foot off the accelerator, and it made no difference. It absolutely made no difference.
Because everyone was just bumper to bumper. The whole line was just moving. Yeah. Way to save some fuel.
Yeah. So it was it was a pretty wild series to run.
The completely different animal, I can only imagine.
Now, Bill, keep in mind, this was a Ford Ranger at the day. So when you did the hill climb
in
the Craftsman Series truck, in the Ranger, you'd still be sitting in it. If your arm would be out the door and your leg would be out the front windshield. I mean, fitting into a Ranger would be crazy. And it's funny because they were so just so kind of boxy and stuff. And you're trying to do like some aero, you're trying to do the front air dam and stuff for it. And you realize the truck is kind of cool looking in race trim. And it wasn't really that great of a truck at the time. They're like, you know, it's just it's a tool, it's functional, it's supposed to be, you know it's a truck, we get it, right?
But we're
turning it into a
we
racing
had a lot vehicle. Of high tech though, the suspension and all of that we had developed with Ford to do that. We actually developed a composite bed, and we put on instead of being steel.
Oh, yeah.
This, it was a lightweight composite.
Oh, and here we are now, and GM's doing the carbon fiber beds,
So
Steve was doing it 30 years ago.
Yeah, so there's really nothing new on doing that. So,
tell us some dirt on my buddy Danny Sullivan.
Well,
a funny quirk, a funny story. You got to have something on him. He's a character.
I will say again, kind of moving in the supercar, Danny had the pleasure of driving our S7 out of Willow Springs, and I think that he was more than surprised on how fast a street car really would go in any trim, whether it's on the street or the racetrack at the time that we did that.
The trucks that you guys develop now, we have the Sport Truck Series, we have the XR Series, certainly the world's getting the truck world's getting very competitive with the Raptor coming out. It's getting a lot of people sort of excited about the factory built off-road, you know, high speed off-road vehicles. And now Dodge has their Ram has their TRX that came out, but you know, all of your competitors are doing trucks and stuff as well. What are you guys doing with your sport truck and your XR?
The sport truck, it gets more of the road racing type of suspension for better handling, the braking, the aerodynamics, again, that we've developed with the truck, so you get better fuel mileage as well. And then so it really handles a lot better, and we feel it's a very attractive looking vehicle as well. And then, of course, we add a supercharger to it, which boosts the horsepower up to 700 horsepower out of a V8. And
yeah,
we're finding that in years ago, you know, Ford had the Lightning.
Yeah.
And
sure. I was just going to step in there.
What? I never even heard of this Lightning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What is this Lightning?
Spill it. Just tell it. Is there anything applicable to a Ford Lightning? Because
we have it. We nicknamed it the Thunder because, you know, Thunder always comes after Lightning.
Yes.
So it's just appropriate. We would have a two-door
standard cab,
700 horsepower with the latest in suspension that you can go have fun with.
Oh, we need a drag race. We need to get out there. We need to have a little 1995 versus 2020 Lightning versus Thunder race, I think.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate. So we're
going to have to do that for sure.
We'll race for pink slips here. So
wait a minute.
You've heard it here on the show. So
all right.
It's a date.
All right.
And it's taped.
We're down for that. All right. So 700 horsepower, obviously out of the 5-liter version, but you do offer, if somebody wanted the suspension and appearance package, but with the EcoBoost engine,
we can do that. But most of what we sell is the V8 with the supercharger on it.
With the supercharger on it. Yeah.
I find that's where more people are more interested in that aspect of it.
Which is also an interesting question in that you offer the three sizes, if you will, sort of the good, better, and best, as you said, the white label, yellow label, black label. You do it for the Mustangs, you do it for the trucks as well. What's the best selling? Is everybody just go all in? Everybody's just buying black label, or how many do you?
No, it varies again because really it's something for everyone that has a budget. Is if you're looking for a standard truck vehicle. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in the $40,000 range for almost all equipped. Well, that's where our white label fits right in there with more horsepower. And then if you're looking for a little bit more, that's where the yellow fits in if you're in the $50,000. And if you want really the ultimate one here, then you go have fun with the black label.
I like the idea of the white label because I always thought the Celine design was so good. So you can get in with basically the suspension and the design on the white label, and then do whatever you want on the power, right? So if you wanted to do turbo or different type of superchargers or kind of just naturally aspirated, that gives you that base to do it with. And then if you want the turnkey version, certainly the others are a good way to do it. In terms of sales, how are the trucks selling versus the Mustangs? And I've been asking everybody out there this question, and they all have the same answer, but I'm curious what yours is.
Ours currently is about 50-50. It really has the trucks over the last several years have really come on very strong. There's a reason why I think Ford has kind of dropped their car line and emphasized trucks and SUVs to a certain extent. And the American public is certainly gravitating to the bigger vehicles these days.
You know, the guys that I've been asking, they were saying that the trucks have been doing so well. They're almost at 2-1. But of course, these are different companies and they had different histories. You have such a big Mustang history. I do want to also ask you about some upcoming vehicles, and then we'll get into some supercars as well.
But one thing I would mention, that we have the off-road version of our truck
XR.
Too, the XR. And that is basically we raise it up. We widen the track 7 inches front and rear. Unlike adding just a bumper guard or a fender flair to it. Mm-hmm. We changed the whole front and rear fenders and the back bed as well. So it's all integrated where you can't even tell other than it's 7 inches wider with a lot more travel. We have, I think it's 13 inches of travel in the front and 14 in the back. And what's kind of nice is that it's a V8 with 700 horsepower.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, if you missed the first Raptor with the supercharger that you could get for it, now it's just all EcoBoost, which as much as I like the Raptor now, it doesn't sound that good. And having the V8 back in it. Yeah. So if you want a V8 version of a Raptor that arguably looks even better.
I'm sure that's right around the corner anyway.
Yeah, well, we'll see what they're doing. Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for? You guys won't find a deal like this again. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. If you want to save an extra 15%, you want to go in and do it by October 7th. This is coming up quick. So switch by October 7th. Go to geico.com to learn more.
Can I get hail insurance through Geico?
You can. If you save 15%, just do it.
Nice. Do I have to say podcast one or?
Nope. You could just go over there and do it. Tell them you're going to get the Goldberg discount.
That's because you live in Texas. You need that.
Exactly.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You need all of that.
Definitely need it now. I almost needed it yesterday. So anyway.
Okay. So Celine S7, just an incredible car. What you guys were able to do with it. I'm not sure what you were exactly thinking when you were doing the vent count on that thing. You're like, how many vents could you possibly need on that car? But you nailed it with the design. I think Goldberg's with me on this one. It's we like the supercars that are out there that don't get too crazy with like the wing and stuff in the back. When you go to like GT3 RS, badass car, and it looks racy and it looks badass sitting out front of, you know, so-and-so's restaurant on Rodeo, but I don't know, it's just like, do we need the giant wing? And then we had the new Corvette ZR1 over here. Our friend Alistair from Edmonds brought it over when it came out. And he's like, yeah, well, the wing is fixed and the trunk still opens, but you kind of have to like go under the wing or over the wing. And I get it. It's cool. And then when Porsche did their GT3 Touring, that was a cool option to go, hey, you want to do the wingless version of that car and get all the GT3? I was like, well, that's a cool idea. S7 to me was always such an exercise in aerodynamics, not just in power and suspension and handling, and also a dominant race car, by the way. And I love that you're doing that. You've always done that very consistently through the years. I feel like some of the car companies maybe had a bit of a racing heritage and or didn't, but either fell off over the years. Honestly, Aston Martin, yes. Ferrari, yes. Porsche, yes. Lamborghini, not so much. Not a lot of racing history there. We love the cars. They're cool. They make big power. Lots of crazy noises. Fantastic to drive. And they did their spec series or whatever it was called for a while, but not a lot of racing history. You guys have always done it. Anybody who's out there racing Ford Rangers and winning championships, in my book, gets an A+.
Absolutely.
So Celine S7, before Celine F7 became a movie star in various movies, how did that project come to be? Do you approach people on this and put together a team and investors or whatever it takes? Or do you have a client coming and going, hey, Steve, we've been working together for years. Why don't you build me something nuts?
No, it actually was an evolution that we went through. We had taken the Mustang back in the mid to late 90s. Mm-hmm. You know, I formed a race team with a comedian, Tim Allen. Mm-hmm. And we did a world tour. Well, maybe it was U.S. and Europe tour rather than the world. But we took the Mustangs over to Europe. We competed in the 24 Hours of Le Mans, but we also competed in – Silverstone at Spa and all of the European racetracks with it. And we had developed the Mustang to as far as it could go. And the only thing that was remaining from the Mustang at the time was the rear taillights. We had chopped and channeled it. We had put independent rear suspension on it. Mm-hmm. And it still was not going to be a car that could compete with the European cars. And
right.
So the only thing left to do is the planets lined up to where I was able to get the capital, and the opportunity presented itself to design our own vehicle. And we wanted to design a vehicle that would actually outperform every vehicle in the world, and that's where we started with a clean sheet of paper and came up with the S7. And we knew that American small block V8 power is a very compact. This is what a lot of the, especially the European teams, did not recognize, is the amount of power that we could get on the American ingenuity on the small block.
Mm-hmm.
A V8, a push rod, and so we packaged it around that. But aerodynamics was important, as you're talking about, joking around, the 90-plus vents that were on the vehicle, is aerodynamics, we felt, was going to be the most important thing to go. And so we spent a lot of time in the wind tunnel, coast down testing and correlating this. And again, this is all at the end of 1999, beginning of 2000. This actually marks, this year is our 20th anniversary of the S7. And we were doing primarily a street vehicle, but we knew it was going to be in competition. So we made sure that we would be competitive on that. And I have to say, the first year that we ran the vehicle in competition, which was 2001, we had four teams run, two in the U.S. and two in Europe, and all four won their respective championships in doing that. And then the car has gone on to – the car has won at every major racetrack in the world with no exception. And I'm talking from Shanghai, wow, China, to Mount Fuji, Japan, Laguna Seca, Daytona, Sebring's Watkins Glen, Silverstone, England, Barcelona, Spain, Imola, Italy, Nürburgring, Germany, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Bahrain.
Wow.
And we finally won at the 24 hours of Le Mans. And we have more race wins in that period of time than Ferrari, Lamborghini, and McLaren combined, all by privateer teams.
That's fantastic. What was the engine in the racing car version? Where you had to do naturally aspirated?
It was our own design engine. We cast our own aluminum block. It was our own
based on like a 351.
It was
427.
The name comes from the historically I've named our vehicles on engine size. So S7 stands for 7 liter, and that it converts to American speak is 427 cubic inches.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was based – the bore centers were similar to Ford, because I didn't want to reinvent head gaskets. Is a lot of time-consuming and water cooling. And so we kept it bore cylinders on that, but we played on the way that the stroke and all the internals work. It was our own aluminum castings of the head that we were paying more attention, I think, in the NASCAR type of trim aspect of it. And it became a very small package that gave us a very good center of gravity on the car and polar movement that we could have and demonstrate the agility of the vehicle like it had never been done before.
What was the horsepower in race trim? Because I know there's some limiting factors.
Yeah, well, it was a lot of limiting factors. Unfortunately, everything you had to – so you build an engine and normally aspirated, you were in the, you know, mid to high 800s, but then you choked it down through the requirements down to about 620 or 630 is what I think actually race trim was.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the S7 streetcar started off as normally aspirated, and then you guys did a couple of turbo.
Yes, we designed, when we came out with it, we designed the vehicle to where 550 normally aspirated was king of the road at that point in time. But I knew our friends over at Ferrari would not sit still. So when we designed the S7, we had the opportunity to add a turbo or two. And sure enough, about four years later, they came out with the Enzo Ferrari. Mm-hmm. And so then we added a couple turbos and boost the horsepower up to 750. And then we had at the end of its initial run, we got the horsepower to right at 1,000. And then, Bill, you're talking about your new project here. Mm-hmm. That's only 1,400. Well, currently our S7s that we've made a few on this deal are 1,500 horsepower.
Steve, my garage can't get any bigger. I have no more space. Don't tempt me with a carrot, please.
But that's
amazing. That's amazing.
And that's what everyone should have is, you know, one of those for their street. So
absolutely.
So
you mentioned the ones today that are 1,500. You're doing what? You're bringing back the S7, like a handful, like an anniversary car?
Yes. We announced a couple years ago that we would do seven more in honoring our win of the 24 Hours of Le Mans. So we've said we're doing seven more. We've delivered, I think, four. And so we have three more that were in the process of doing that.
And then how many S7s were built in total?
We had a total on this would just be just under 100. 15 of them are race vehicles. The rest were all street cars, split somewhat evenly between normally aspirated and twin turbo.
Because they're really starting to move at the auctions. Like, it seems like right now trading S7s is a big money proposition. The cars have really seemed to go up, and every major auction seems to be picking one up. I don't know if it's the same guy who just keeps moving around and around
Must be changing the color of the car, yeah. I guess, is all,
now, correct,
all that I
correct
can say.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but this might exclude me, but I can't fit in the S7, correct?
No, that's not true.
fit in that car.
The level of performance is so great in the car is that we custom fit the seat for the individual. And the way that we would do it would be strictly like if you were getting in a Formula race car, is that we would mold the seat around you. And there's really quite a bit of room the way that the pedals get adjusted. We have, I think, 18 inches of adjustment just on the pedal position alone. So we could probably fit you in. I don't know actually how tall you are, though, Bill.
It's about width.
Well, I'm torso, man. I have a very short inseam, so I'm 6'4".
Oh, no, yeah, we can do that. It is a two-seater, but it's actually asymmetric seating that we actually have in it in the respect – that the driver's position is you're more in the center of the vehicle on this. So in your case, I don't think you would have a problem. Your passenger might.
I don't care about my passenger, but you
probably would be okay.
All right, I'm going to ask you about Celine S1 in a minute, but let me touch on Dodge one more time. Summertime is the best time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle because Dodge Power Dollars means you get a guaranteed discount. You've heard us talk about it before. The math is simple. You get $10 off based on the total horsepower of your new Dodge vehicle. And that applies to every 2020 Challenger, every 2020 Durango, every 2020 Charger. You get the most out of your horsepower this summer, which is a great deal. It works like this. $10 off for each horsepower. That means you can go in and pick up the new Dodge Charger SRT Scat Pack. That has 485 horsepower. You get $4,850 off. And as we said, this summer, Dodge Power Dollars is back on the Dodge Durango as well. So no matter where the summer takes you, the Dodge Durango is here to make every trip this season a breeze. It's got the big 7-passenger seating. Ooh, and that new Durango Hellcat's badass. I don't know if the discount applies to that. You're gonna have to find out. But if you get more power, you get more off. It's that simple. So hurry into your local Dodge dealer now to take advantage of Dodge Power Dollars. All right. We're going to be running out of time, but I want to try to get in a few more questions if we can. So, Celine S1. Celine S1, I spoke to you at LA Auto Show a couple of years ago, debuting this new car. And you're like, hey, it's rear engine, rear mid, it's four cylinder, it's turbo, it's small, it's a sports car. And I'm like, what's going on here? And you're like, and it's $100,000 or somewhere around that. And I was like, whoa, I like what you're selling, Steve. And I don't know. Are you making the street cars now? Are they hitting the road, or are you still doing just the racing cars? Because I know you put together a spec series. You had about, I don't know, maybe 20 or so cars and two groups, about 15 pros, maybe 5 or 10 amateurs. And you did a racing series for a while, which again, always at the track with the cars. That's what I do love about you guys over at Celine. Where are we with the S1? Are we getting that car? Is that car here?
It is. Actually, you've covered it pretty well. we are still in the certification aspect for the street version of the vehicle. And that gets into a little bit because I have China was involved a little bit mm-hmm. with this. But before we get to that, maybe the race series was actually very – we did our whole own race series. Last year we ran a number of races across the United States with, as you mentioned, pro and amateur, two different classes. Cars are identical. People just showed up with their helmet. We supplied actually the driving shoes and driving suits, and it ended up being a fantastic experience, and it certainly showcased the car. We were able through the winter here to in December and in first of this year in January, we competed with the S1 against all makes, against Porsche and mm-hmm. Aston Martin and BMW and Lamborghini and all of that. And the two events that we ran in the winter series here in Southern California, the car won both events. So wow. Obviously it was a very competitive car. We didn't need to have our own racing series. We knew how fast the vehicle was, and then coronavirus hit, and we've kind of had to take a hiatus this year on racing, but yeah. Hopefully next year we'll be back at it.
Okay, so hopefully we'll be getting that car soon. Like you said, when you're starting with a car from the ground up, you have all sorts of rules, anything from crash testing and airbags and certifications and emissions and blah, blah, blah. We get all that. We've got a few minutes left. Let's talk a little bit about China. What a lot of you guys may have seen was maybe not a lot of information about a partnership with you and a company in China to produce some vehicles. And what – I don't know. I kind of feel like the news we got here in America was this was a way – for you guys to start something new and bring us the S1, right? They were able to do some manufacturing there, or carbon fiber bodies or something along the lines of that. And it looked like this partnership with this Chinese company was a way for us to get the S1. But as it turns out, as you and I discussed earlier, this was way, way, way bigger than we could have imagined. You guys built in an incredible amount of time. You built an entire automotive manufacturing facility in China on 800 acres of land with a capacity of 400 to 500,000 cars a year could have been developed. You guys designed for the Chinese market a ground up, your own design Celine SUV, which we have not seen here, and you guys developed an electric car in partnership with another company. So they did exterior design. You did an electric, like, commuter car, like small, almost Mini Cooper, smart car-ish for that market as well, and tons more. Like, I'm just scratching the surface. There was a huge retail store. There was a museum. There was a restaurant. There was, like, just an incredible operation. This is a multi-billion dollar partnership that was going on over there. And then, I don't know, like, does it feel like America is simpatico with China right now? So tell us a little bit about that. Give us the story on that real quick.
Well, you've covered it as we did not broadcast a lot of it here in the U.S., lately over since the coronavirus took place on this, basically the Chinese have decided that they will nationalize the company. And what that means specifically, even though they were the minority shareholder in that, they control the government and the courts, and they just go in and they basically said, we will kick you out and take over. Thank you. You've donated all of your trademarks, your IP, your know-how has all been set.
Your time.
And
even
time
in the
and
retail
energy
store, you had a bunch of your personal
and,
stuff. You and, know, yeah, your it, trophies and photos. And
Yeah. From a personal standpoint, I know it's kind of petty on me, but you know, it has all my artifacts.
Not petty at all.
Stuff. And we put together, it was a major facility. It was on 850 acres. The cafeteria could feed 10,000 people at one time. So it was a major manufacturing
facility.
Guys,
this wasn't a concept. I saw the plot of land where they built the facility, and I saw the photos of the factory. Like, this happened in 4 years. Like, this massive, massive operation must have been exciting as it was going.
I designed one of my main contributions was the IP and the design of a complete ground-up SUV called the Celine SUV. And we basically were ready to go in production. We had done the prototype vehicles. We had done all the testing. We were just waiting for the certification process to complete. As you mentioned, the electric vehicles were actually started in production already. The S1 was really going to be built more here by ourselves in Corona. That was just sort of like an appetizer to what we were really developing. And the government decided to take 100% control of the operation and basically take all of my contributions with the IP and everything that we had put into it and said there was no value for it, zero, even though that they filed over 500 patents on my technology that was done. And so that obviously left quite a bitter taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
And so instead of going quietly into the night, we've kind of made some noise. And we've fortunately, U.S. Congress is helping us here through the diplomatic relations, trying to resolve the situation. And
well, that was going to be my question. Is this salvageable? There's been countless hours and years and billions of dollars invested. What could happen, or what do you want to happen?
Well, I think at this point in time, it's still with the help of Congress and the Department of Congress or Commerce and Trade Agency and the administration, the current administration on this is helping us to try to at least negotiate some kind of appropriate settlement. What that could end up being is hard to say. We had licensed my name and my likeness, the trademarks, all the IP we had put in through a Delaware company. And that Delaware company then in turn put into the capitalization of the company over as a joint venture into China. And so we'll see how this gets in. Maybe, you know, have me back in another 6 months or so, and maybe I can give you the latest of the
pretty good news.
Okay, well, I do want to be clear about this. Is as you were just explaining a little bit of the corporate structure, not to get too nerdy about it, but you starting the new Delaware corporation and then that's partnered with the Chinese companies was a way for you to protect your U.S. operations. So the Celine Automotive, you know, the company you run here, all the Mustangs and the S1 and everything we've been talking about. Of course, we don't have time, but upcoming Bronco as well.
Yeah.
that's all separate company.
Correct. So the good news is that China does not impact any aspect of what we're doing here in North America. Mm-hmm. We have a very bright future, and everyone that comes out to it can see that we're doing it. But we had for the China market, we had actually a pretty big future as well, and we'll see how that develops.
I'm excited to see a Celine Bronco. I saw some of the renderings. It looks pretty badass. And you guys got to be kicking around some ideas on a Celine all-electric Mach-E.
Well, certainly electric is here to go. And
Chris, you're fired.
I will say that we had,
he was waiting for the Mach-E drop.
we had the, you know, but you might actually pay attention to maybe an all-electric supercar, too.
All right. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Ooh, all-electric supercar. All right. So listen, we're out of time. I appreciate it. We're going to have to do this again. Always a pleasure having you on the show. It's been a little while since we had you in the studio, but I appreciate you you coming in and doing this for us. Just a reminder, so coming up, Adam Kroll and I are going to be in Tennessee at the ZCon event. We're going to be there Tuesday. Chris is going to be with us Tuesday, September 15th. We're going to be doing CarCast live at ZCon at 11 a.m., I believe Eastern time, whatever the local time is out there. And then later that night, we're going to be a part of the new Nissan Z car unveiling. They've got the one prototype. Everyone's excited to see it. We're going to see what the future is for Z car. We're going to be a part of that unveil. It's going to be basically, we're going to be emceeing the event here in the U.S. while they are broadcasting and showing the car from Japan. That's what you get when you have one prototype. As Steve knows all too well, he's been down this road of unveiling cars and whatnot. So going to be exciting to do that. So September 15th, Chris, you're going to come out. We're going to get a podcast. We're going to talk to, I believe, the gentleman who runs ZCon event. We're going to talk to some people from Nissan as well. And then we'll come home and we'll bring some Z-car information for you guys as well. So, yes.
Again, want to thank you for having me on the show. It was great. Great conversation on this. And I'll put in a plug. If you have any information or want to find any information, go to Celine.com.
Yes,
it's
of course.
Easy to look us up. And we'll be traveling around the country at various car shows, too. So have all of your listeners feel free to stop by and talk cars.
I'd love to do it. I'm looking forward to the S1. I can't wait to get behind the wheel of one of those one day. It looks good. I love what you guys are doing with it. I need to come back down to Corona. I think I was down there when you were first opening up. So it's been a minute for sure.
Yeah, a lot has changed. So you should plan on coming.
Steve, it was an honor and a privilege to have you on, and you need to hire a new security guard just to keep him out of your Corona shop. Go ahead and say.
Who's that guy who keeps driving up in his 95 Lightning, snooping around,
Lightning?
Looking through the window? So like, we know it's him. It's the same guy, same Lightning. All right, guys, thank you so much. And until next time, keep the air and the spare in the bag and the wheel. Boom, boom.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey guys, thanks so much for listening. Another shout out from our friends at Geico. Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for? Go in and check this out. There's never been a better time now to switch to Geico, and you'll save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Just visit geico.com to learn more.